Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Anthony Reich, let's move over to you in the meantime. How are you?
Boker Tov. Another restless night in Israel. A lot of code red sirens being sounded during the night across the central part of Israel and, of course, across the south as well. Another sleepless night for many people running to bomb shelters as those sirens were sounding. I was also one of them. The watchword is that we are all obliged to go to our bomb shelters as soon as the code red sirens are heard in order to add that extra layer of protection that we desperately need. Of course, the IDF are doing all that they can to provide their levels of protection, including use of the Iron Dome, which has been extensively used over the past few days. But the bomb shelters, the security rooms that we have at our disposal are very, very important. And we've seen that over and over again as people's lives have been saved. Unfortunately, one of those whose lives could not be saved by the security room was 6-year-old Ido Avigail. He and his family were in their security room in Sderot when their home was subject to a direct hit by a missile that was sent from Gaza. That security room, for some reason, did not hold up under the pressure. Idor was seriously injured, along with other members of his family, in that security room. And we understand this morning that young Idor unfortunately died from his wounds overnight in hospital. His mother remains quite seriously ill. His sister was also injured. His aunt and cousins also in that same incident. So unfortunately, we are mourning the loss today of a 6-year-old unnecessarily killed innocent civilian who was in his security room doing everything that was expected of him. And even that, unfortunately, was not enough. And all of this comes, of course, on the day that is one of the most important holidays in the Muslim calendar, Eid al-Fitr. It signifies the end of Ramadan for our Muslim friends. I wish our Muslim listeners Eid Mubarak. It is a 3-day holiday, actually, in the Muslim calendar. So as we move into our Shavuot holiday over the weekend, the Muslims celebrate Eid today. But unfortunately, not Eid and not Shavuot will be particularly quiet, because unfortunately the events over the past few days have meant that Israel is onto a full security footing, and really there is no room to breathe at all, no room to take foot off the pedals, and we all have to maintain maximum security as much as we can over the coming days.
Yeah, terrible, terrible situation indeed. All right, let's just go through some of the questions that that people are looking to ask, and I just want to go back to them. All right, question for Anthony: how is Hamas able to accumulate so much firepower? The equipment must be brought into Gaza. Does Israel not monitor everything that goes into Gaza?
So, yeah, I mean, it's similar to the issue that was raised yesterday about why Israel doesn't respond. Israel's intelligence is incredibly powerful, and Israel is watching all of the various operatives and watching all of the activities that goes on in Gaza. I've heard it said that Israel knows how many times a night people snore and what food they like to eat and what their regular daily activities are. Such is the level of the intelligence that's being received about individuals and about activities that's happening in Gaza. Having said that, even though Israel might be aware of it, Israel is not always necessarily able to stop what's going on, to stop the inflow of arms and ammunition into Gaza. So we have a certain control that has been placed upon the crossings that go into Gaza in order to try to prevent the inflow of arms and ammunition and also building material. This whole issue about building material is very sensitive, because a lot of the building material is then used to build weapons, to build arms and ammunition. But on the other hand, the human rights organizations will say Israel has no right to prevent the inflow of building material to Gaza because most of it is being used for the construction of infrastructure that is required in Gaza, and that's a human rights issue. So that just shows one of the real dilemmas that Israel has in putting this control around Gaza borders. Also, bearing in mind that Israel has no control over the crossings between Gaza and Egypt, there are tunnels that are used to smuggle goods and services and people and all manner of things in and out of Gaza. Israel has no control over that, although Israel has asked for the cooperation of the Egyptians. The Egyptians are willing to cooperate. They're not always able to cooperate. They're not always able to put the controls over those crossings that Israel would like. And of course, there is the sea border, which Israel does patrol, but also is porous. It's not possible to hermetically seal what goes on in Gaza. And so even though Israel has visibility of all of this that's happening there, there is not always the ability to prevent it. And there is not always the desire to go right in at any moment in time and try to destroy things that are happening, to try to destroy weapons manufacturing facilities and things like that, because it could potentially then just ignite the fuse that would cause the whole thing to explode. So it has to be very, very cautiously and carefully managed. But I think it would be accurate to say that Israel is not surprised by this fire.
Yeah, it was one of my concerns as well. Israel has effectively been accused of three things. One is this so-called eviction, and you and I have spoken about that. It is clear what this is about. It's a legal dispute, and we understand that. The one issue is, of course, pummeling Gaza. We understand that as well. There's not even a question about the fact that Hamas launched all of these rockets, and this is in response to that. The third thing, and one that I keep hearing as well, is that Israeli troops stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Can you give us the context and the language and a little bit of perspective? Was Israel wrong in doing this? Did Israel actually do this? Was it unprovoked? Did Israel attack Muslims at prayer or in prayer at the mosque? Because this is something that I'm seeing on social media all the time.
So there was an incident on Monday, Yom Yerushalayim, where Israeli police actually went onto the Temple Mount and actually did go into the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So that is an accurate statement.
Okay.
Now, what lies around that is also very, very important. The context can't be ignored in what happened. So what happened, particularly on Sunday night, but even in the period that built up to the police entering the mosque on Monday, is that Palestinian worshippers and rioters had built up a stock of weapons in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Weapons, by weapons, I mean stones and pieces of wood and other objects that were being used to pelt people who are on the lower area below the Temple Mount. Now, for people who visited the area, you will know that one has to go up onto the Temple Mount and that it actually overlooks, for example, the Western Wall Plaza. So it is quite easy to stand on the upper area of the Temple Mount and literally throw stones onto people who are praying or visiting the Western Wall Plaza. And that's just on the one side of the Temple Mount. You can really go all the way around the Temple Mount. And for example, there were quite a lot of stones and dangerous objects being thrown at people on the lower side of the southern side of the Temple Mount. So that's a particularly dangerous situation, not an unusual one, but one which had escalated over the past little while. And the police decided that in their wisdom, it was the right thing to do to go in and to somehow try to get hold of that stockpile of weapons, of stones, of objects, of wood, planks, whatever they had stockpiled in there that they were using to throw at people in order to try to prevent people from being injured in the process of the riot that was literally taking place. Now, one can, you know, draw conclusions. One can judge the actions of the police as to whether that was the right or the wrong action. But I've actually seen quite a lot written now which says that These events over Ramadan and the ultimate outbreak of hostilities which took place on Yom Yerushalayim was something which has been quite carefully orchestrated by certain factions within Hamas, particularly Mohammed Deif and his more militaristic faction, which lies apparently in conflict with other members of Hamas, particularly Yahya Sinwar, who is the political leader of Hamas in Gaza and who's been taking a more civilian approach to try to build up infrastructure and to try to create a better life for people in Gaza. And yet Mohammed Deif decides that in order for him to create the strength that he needs, the popularity amongst the Gazan people, that a more militaristic approach, and he stands accused at the moment of firing this all up, of creating a certain atmosphere where the outbreak of hostilities on Yom Yerushalayim had been planned already for some time, and that he was orchestrating in the background a lot of the things that were going on the Temple Mount. It had all been planned, a lot of the conflicts that were taking place at the Damascus Gate, and indeed some of the riots that are going on across towns and cities in Israel where Arabs and Jews are in conflict with each other, and some terrible incidents have been taking place. So there is some context to the police storming the Temple Mount and going into the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which they did for a short period of time in order to get their hands on that stockpile of weapons and stones and pieces of wood that were being used to endanger lives. And I think that it is a logical thing. Any police force around the world would have done the same thing, except for the fact, obviously, that we have a very, very sensitive situation with the pictures, with the press wanting to see Israeli police storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque and drawing conclusions, whatever conclusions they may wish to draw from that.
Yeah, I mean, whereas I hear that, it probably in hindsight wasn't the best thing to have done.
I'm not sure what alternatives the Israeli police really had. If they were trying to protect people from being attacked by crowds of people who had gathered on the Temple Mount, who were throwing stones, who were throwing objects, who were endangering people, the question is, as a police commander in that situation, what choice do you have? Do you simply clear the whole area out?
Yeah, you see, it's unfortunate. It's what somebody, one of our listeners, Jonathan, says. Why are the rules of engagement different for Israel and Hamas? I mean, Hamas can just shoot rockets at cities, but Israel is lambasted for doing what it needs to do to protect its population. Unfortunately, yes, Jonathan, it's called anti-Semitism. It is called, you know, we can call it anti-Zionism. You can call it whatever you want, but the veneer is so, so thin, and the line between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism is so thin that it never lasts, because what happens in Israel might be about Israel, but that results in Jews getting beaten up in the streets of New York before somebody asks them what their political view on Israel is.
Right. I mean, unfortunately, the rules of engagement are different. It's not justified. It's not something that we are willing to accept. But the facts of them on the ground are that the rules of engagement are different. And if this had happened in another town or city around the world, be it New York or Washington or Paris or Rome or Johannesburg or anywhere else, then it might well have been very justified for the police to go in and nobody would have said a word. In Jerusalem, however, and particularly on the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, things are very different.
Absolutely. Absolutely horrific. Is there any sense of how long this is going to go on, if there is a chance of reaching some form of quiet?
Well, the Israeli cabinet yesterday decided to escalate activities against Hamas and reject the appeal that had been lodged by Hamas for quiet. And the IDF has really been taking a very, very pinpoint approach, destroying Hamas-related infrastructure. So buildings like the Hamas intelligence building has been destroyed. Police buildings have been destroyed in Gaza. The finance ministry and a bank which has been financing the Hamas terror activities have all been destroyed. So it's been very, very pinpointed and has been very, very successful in taking out a lot of the infrastructure that has really been supporting this conflict, and also taking out the middle to high level of Hamas leadership commanders, field commanders, 10 senior Hamas commanders have already been assassinated in this particular conflict, with another 60-odd Hamas field commanders all being killed, all in pinpoint strikes. And I think that the IDF, when you talk to the IDF a little later, the representative, I'm sure that they will tell you a little bit more about this, but the Israeli government has decided that now is not the time to stop. And this is going to roll at least for another short period of time to allow Israel to do what it needs to do in order to take this particular threat away. So unfortunately, no sign of quiet, at least for the time being. But let's hope that as we roll into the weekend of Shavuot, that we will all, of course, be able to celebrate Shavuot in the way that we usually do. I'm not sure that that's not going to be the case, particularly with outside gatherings. The Tikkun Leil Shavuot, the gatherings in Jerusalem that are usual, I think are going to be somewhat limited this year.
I think so as well.
But I take my opportunity to wish you all a Shabbat Shalom and a Chag Shavuot Sameach.
Thank you, Anthony, and you too.
It's going to be a bit of a break until we talk again.
Yes, absolutely.
But I look forward to being back on Wednesday, right?
Absolutely right. It is 8:01. Anthony Reich, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach. Just be safe, and we look forward to speaking to you then.